You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Offer.
Good afternoon, once again, everyone. Welcome into the Gym Class here in KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, on the stream, on the app, on your smart speaker, or if you're listening to us after hours on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in here on KGYM. Spencer Wagon, my name, in for Scott Unash, who is still being Mr. Basketball. Some good news to report. We'll tell you about that here in just a bit from the world of high school hoops. One team left in the state championship Friday. We'll tell you about that here in just a bit. Also, continue to follow what's happening in Indianapolis. Things have tightened up significantly between Iowa and Rutgers in this second half. And the Hawkeyes looking to hold on and advance to semifinal Saturday in the Big Ten tournament. Spencer Wagon, as I said, with you. Mark Duke's joining me in studio as well. Mark, you're looking at the TV. And things are tightening up. Iowa had, an 18-point lead in this second half, and it's down to single digits.
Yeah, not surprising. Rutgers playing pretty well in the second half, and Iowa's defense is not as good as it was after a slow start in the first half. Iowa went to a zone defense and pretty much took what you thought was control of the game. But here comes Rutgers. It is now a 10-point lead for Iowa, 73-63, but it's going to be, 5 minutes left in the game? Mm-hmm. And hang on to your hats.
It's coming down to the wire just like it did in Piscataway, although much higher scoring for both teams in this contest. Iowa was 73 and Rutgers was 63. The final score was 48-46 last time these two teams met, but Iowa leading by 10 with about 5 minutes left to play, heading into an interesting weekend when it comes to seeding, when it comes to tournament championships, when it comes to the bubble, when it comes to all that good stuff. And the craziness of March reared its head again earlier today. We saw yesterday, Mark, Indiana go from down 17 to beating Michigan. And then Indiana today wasn't the prettiest of finishes, but they knocked out the number one seed in the Big Ten with Illinois.
Yeah, Andre Curbelo from Illinois had a really good look, drove the length of the floor, and had a kind of a left-handed layup that was contested. He missed it, and Indiana ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this Iowa Rutgers winner will face Indiana tomorrow in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. And should Iowa win? Is that a break for Iowa? Well, I mean, Illinois was the number one seed.
Right.
But Indiana did something that Iowa has not been able to do, and that's defeat Illinois.
Right, right.
That could come down to the matchups or what have you. But Trace Jackson-Davis has been really, really good for Indiana. Mm-hmm. And you got to believe they're going to come in with a lot of momentum no matter who they face.
And it's essentially a home game, too. Playing right. A little bit north of Bloomington, Indianapolis, about a half hour north of Bloomington. So going to be a lot of Hoosier fans there, just like the Iowa women had for their Big Ten Tournament Championship game last weekend. If Iowa were to get there, it's going to be a pretty tough environment. And it's been an interesting Big Ten tournament. Iowa, by the way, just went up, 12 now, 75-63, if I'm seeing that score correctly here. But it's been an interesting Big Ten tournament. Illinois is out. Wisconsin has Michigan State tonight. Penn State knocked out Ohio State.
Right.
Penn State's got Purdue, so it's really anyone's tournament. Still, even here as we head into the rest of our quarterfinal Friday.
Penn State is the most veteran team in the league, and obviously dangerous. It has moved into the quarterfinals. I'm not sure it can match up very well with Purdue, but we'll see. You got to pay attention with Penn State.
You really do.
Again, it has a lot of veterans on that team that have been through the wars and been through a lot of close, tough games. I don't expect the Nittany Lions to back off by any means, but you'd have to favor Purdue there, I would think.
Yeah, Purdue the 3 seed taking on the 11 seed. Things have transpired in the last couple minutes. Tony Perkins with a massive three-pointer.
Boy, he's playing good.
He is playing so well for Iowa. Tony Perkins with a big three. Let me get back to the stat sheet here. It's now 78-63. Tony Perkins with a three-pointer, the assist to Keegan Murray. And then Iowa now with a 7-0 run over the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Rutgers hasn't scored in 3 minutes and change. They're 0-for-4 from the field in that stretch. But Keegan Murray with the assist there on the 3 by Tony Perkins. And speaking of Keegan Murray, he just moments ago broke Iowa's single-season scoring record with 749 points. The man who had the record before.
Long-standing record, right?
Long-standing, one season and change. Luca Garza with 747.
That's something.
Set last year. So Keegan Murray, the single-season scoring record leader. Jordan Bohannon, I mentioned on Spencer on Sports a few moments ago, getting to 2,000 points for his career with a bucket in the second half. So the record setting continues for the Hawkeyes after yesterday's blowout win over Northwestern. They're playing as well as anybody in the Big Ten. And the announcers, I've said it here, you've said it, Todd and Alex have talked about it, the announcers even were talking about it. Aside from Wisconsin, who's playing the best in the Big Ten that's still alive, it's got to be Iowa.
No doubt about it. And things are looking good for Iowa, better than when we came on the air. As you mentioned, 15-point lead with about 2.5 minutes remaining in this game against Rutgers. And so resilient. Perkins has been terrific. Murray has been Murray. Chris Murray playing well. Connor McCaffrey, I mean, he doesn't score a whole lot. I think he had a 3.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's playing really good defense. He scraps.
Yeah.
And does a lot of things that, you know, it's an old tired yarn, but it doesn't show up in the box score.
Right.
Type thing, but it's so true.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
Connor McCaffrey's current stat line as we look at it live here in game. 3 points on 1 of 3 shooting, so that three-pointer you mentioned. 2 rebounds, 5 assists. So it's not, you know, it's, you know, he's not scoring 60. He's not being Steph Curry and pulling up from the logo, or I guess Caitlin Clark and pulling up from the logo to be more a little team appropriate. But that's good. That's good to see. And then you mentioned Keegan Murray, 26 points on 10 of 19 shooting. Tony Perkins with 14, including the big three just a moment ago. Jordan Bohannon with 13 points. Joe Toussaint with the 4. Chris Murray with 9 points. And, you know, leading by 15 with 3 minutes to play. Looks like they're going to be moving on to semifinals Saturday. One thing I did talk about, two things I wanted to point out, too. You talk about rebounding. Iowa out-rebounding Rutgers 32-26. Turnovers were a big issue in that first half. Iowa had 7 in the first half, 0 so far in the second half. It's still 7-4 turnover-wise. Iowa owning the defensive rebounding stats 24-17. And they are a perfect 21-of-21 from the free throw line
big,
in the game.
Big.
That's huge. And you talk about missed free throws. We talked about that in the game against Illinois last weekend. The game that they lost, if Chris Murray's shot goes down, but if Chris Murray and Tony Perkins and different players make their free throws, maybe it's a different story, but 21-of-21 is huge.
Yeah, definitely on the mark today, and I don't know if that's any kind of record or close to it, but certainly ties a record with 1,000%, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A game left, so we'll see if Iowa completes that perfect afternoon at the free throw line. Again, 78-63 with under 3 minutes left in Indianapolis in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament.
Mike Halas pointing out on Twitter that Iowa was a perfect 20-for-20 in a game against Western Illinois back in 2004. So this 21-of-21 as of right now would be a record. So
the records go on.
That's huge. 319-366-1600. Thank you, 6936. Connor McCaffrey, just saw that too, left the game at the last timeout. So you know, again, he's been playing very well down the stretch. I didn't see the play happen, but because we're obviously talking on the radio here, but certainly hope it's not a serious injury or whatever he's dealing with.
Oh, quit it. We're both watching TV.
we're talking on the radio, looking at computers, watching TV, looking at the text line. People out there saw what we actually do in here. We're not just two guys sitting here. That's only two guys sitting here talking sports is only part of the equation. It's looking at facts, looking at Mike Colossus' Twitter account, looking at other things going on, the stat line, the stat sheet. But yeah, it's a lot more than just sitting here and talking sports. Anybody could really tell you that. But Indiana getting the win earlier today, 65-63. Iowa right now leading Rutgers. And then we talked about Penn State, Purdue, but Michigan State, Wisconsin. Going to be an interesting matchup tonight in the Big Ten tournament. Wisconsin, the number two seed, of course, end of their season, the regular season, with kind of a clunker, losing to Nebraska at home. Johnny Davis got hurt in that game. It sounds like, at least from what I'm aware of, he's going to play tonight. Should be good to go. But Michigan State, one of those teams that, you know, seems to have the Badgers' number in certain situations. They beat them pretty good in Madison, lost to them at home in East Lansing. So, there's going to be an upset tonight. I think maybe Sparty could do it. I think I'd still go with Wisconsin. I think they're the better team, at least down the stretch here in the season. But if there's going to be an upset tonight, I think it might be Sparty.
Michigan State had to hold on in the previous round to advance. Frankly, I don't have much confidence in either one of these teams.
Right.
I mean, if one over the other, it'd be Wisconsin because it has played so well all season and comes in as a co-Big Ten champion. But you can't underestimate Tom Izzo. I don't think he's got a super team by any stretch of the imagination. He's going to come up with something.
Yeah, Izzo knows how to coach. He knows how to get the most out of his team. And I think you saw him humbled after that game in Iowa City. And he said, yeah, he praised Keegan Murray. He praised Fran McCaffrey in his post-game comments. But he said, we're not going to quit. We're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've still struggled a little bit down the stretch. You know, they lost to Michigan in big fashion, but Michigan State, I still feel like it's Michigan State. They might not win the whole thing this year, but you know, don't count out Tom Izzo. Now that I say that, Wisconsin will probably win by 30. But you know, I just feel like Michigan State, you know, when you have a coach who's been there and done that, you know, who's able to get your players to play with a sense of urgency in March, that has to count for something.
It does, and it may tonight. It just makes for an interesting evening tonight and into Saturday and Sunday. Breaking news, Iowa missed a free throw.
Yeah, now 25 of 27 from the line in the contest. They started 22 of 22. Thank you again to 6936 for pointing that out on the text line. Our buddy John Bonenkamp also pointing out, I looked up at the screen and saw Jordan Bohannon shooting technical foul shots. So I was wondering, you know, what happened here. There was a double technical assessed to Paul Mulcahy from Rutgers and Connor McCaffrey from Iowa. How that happened with Connor not on the floor, we're not sure. I didn't see the full play of what happened, but there was a double technical assessed to Mulcahy and to McCaffrey. The score currently, if you're following along here, is 82-66 with a minute 20 left. So Iowa, they're moving on to semifinal Saturday. Here with the win over Rutgers.
The texts are saying that Rutgers' strength and conditioning coach was kicked out.
Yes.
Earlier, there's a guy on the end of the bench who got a technical. Is that the guy?
Yes, yes.
Did he get another one? He must have got another one.
Yeah, yeah. There was a play that was while I was just about midway through my show earlier. Philip Rabracha got fouled and they motioned to the end of the bench, and someone at the end of the Rutgers bench was yelling because they didn't call a foul on Rabracha. And so it was the trainer. So that's strength and conditioning coach getting kicked out of the game, getting a technical foul. Don't see that.
That's just not helpful.
No. Are we going to have to call him the former strength and conditioning coach here very soon? We might have to. But Iowa with 1:09 left, 84-68 here with 1:09 left. Again, Keegan Murray, 26 points, 8 rebounds on the day. Tony Perkins and Jordan Bohannon each with 16 as of right now. So the Hawkeyes will be moving on and taking on Indiana. Team they've beaten once this year. Of course, that was way back in January.
That was a pivotal game for Iowa.
It was. Yeah. It was. And, you know, that was at the point of the season where Indiana was not on the bubble, if I remember correctly. That was when they were still considered one of the better teams in the Big Ten. And I think they still are right now, especially with how things have played out in the Big Ten tournament. I think they've solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament. But that was a point in the season for Indiana where they were a little bit higher in the national mindset, I guess, if you will. And Iowa needed a win. They needed to come back from a tough start to Big Ten play, and they got that win. Things have changed since then, but both teams are playing pretty well here down the stretch.
With Indiana's run so far, it is in the tournament.
Yes.
I don't think there's much doubt about that. It has earned its way into the NCAA tournament, and it may go further. We shall see in that game against Iowa tomorrow. Right now, 84-70, Iowa with 31 and change seconds left in that particular ball game. So you would think Iowa's in good shape there. Again, fascinating night tonight coming up at the Big Ten tournament and then into the semis and the finals on the weekend.
When you look at the bubble here for today, and again, this was as of very early this morning, you talk about Indiana specifically. Joe Lunardi had Indiana as his last team in the field. So you have to believe they are now safe. You beat Michigan, who is still on the bubble, or at least in the tournament, but getting closer to the bubble as we speak. You beat them, and then you beat Illinois, the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. I think that makes you safe.
Yep.
I don't even think they're in Dayton anymore. I think they move up out of Dayton. And
what does this run do for Iowa? I mean, yeah. It was in, the sixth range?
Yep.
Winging in the tournament. Is it up to a five now? Is a four a possibility? That would be a pretty good move.
Yeah, I saw Jerry Palm with CBS. He had Iowa still as a seven, which I was seven? That seems way too low. But Joe Lunardi, in his bracket update this morning, had Iowa as a five seed. And now, say, if Iowa were to win tomorrow and get to the Big Ten championship game, and if they, say, were to win the Big Ten championship, the Big Ten tournament championship, I think you have to put them a little bit higher than the five, don't you? You have to push them maybe up to a four seed if they win the whole thing, just the way they're playing, right?
Maybe. We'll see what other teams do and consider Iowa's body of work. And we talk so much about the net and the quad one wins and whatnot. We know Iowa doesn't have many. I haven't checked. I honestly haven't checked lately, but I know Iowa.
I stopped checking after they beat Ohio State.
Iowa
because that was the okay. They don't have any. They don't have any. They don't have any. And then they beat Ohio State. Now they have one, and now they're in the tournament, and we're good.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Let me look here. Let me pull it again. Great radio.
Yeah, maybe Indiana's a quad one win. I don't know.
I think they might be. Let's see. Where is Iowa on my list of teams here? Iowa, and then we'll go to Indiana as well. This is exactly what you tune in for, listeners. Spencer looking at his laptop and clicking around different things. Iowa now, according to this, 2-6 quad one. 2-6 quad one, 6-3 quad two, 7-0 quad three, and 8-0 in quad four.
Okay.
So 2-6 in quad one. Indiana is 3-7 quad one wins. I think that includes the Illinois win from earlier today. So not sure where Indiana falls. Indiana, Iowa's net is 15. Indiana's is 41. So someone much smarter than I should chime in if you know. 319-366-1600. We appreciate
it. We're all going to know come Sunday. Yeah. And we've talked so much about all these net and quad one wins and this and that and the other. I think we can safely say Iowa's going to get a pretty strong seed in the tournament. Mm-hmm. We can safely say, despite last night's game, Iowa State is going to be in the tournament.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the bracketologist, Jerry Palm, had the Cyclones an 8 this morning, and Lenardi had them a 9. So Iowa State's in because of the quad one wins.
They have 9.
Yeah.
They have 9 quad one wins. Which is huge, and then you know, say what you will about Iowa State, but this team, and I know T.J. Otzelberger said it after the game last night, despite losing 72-41 to Texas Tech. You know, this team has the biggest turnaround in college basketball from 2-22 to what 20-12. I mean, that's huge. Plus 18 in the win column is just enormous for Iowa State, and yeah, they're. You know, they've struggled down the stretch. They should have had that Oklahoma State game. If they shoot just even marginally better, they probably get that game. Baylor, you know, they've fought, they battled back. They took care of business and getting back down from that 29-4 hole to start the game and just couldn't finish. Texas Tech was just a terrible matchup. We talked about that yesterday. We didn't spend too much time on it yesterday for the Big 12 preview on the show yesterday, but it's just a really bad matchup. Texas Tech plays great defense. They can shoot the ball well. They spread it out over a number of different guys. Just a bad matchup, and it was a bad night for Iowa State.
Tech, a very good team, and we've seen in recent games, Iowa State, the struggle to score. Mm-hmm. Scored fewer than 40 in a game. Scored, 41 last night? Mm-hmm. And... you know, generally speaking, it's a team that can play very good defense. But when it doesn't score, it just makes every possession that much more difficult.
Right.
And it's been, in my mind, a tale of two seasons for this team because it started 13-0 and has gone 7-12 since.
Right.
So, you know, that first 13 games was excellent. Piled up some quad one wins and national ranking and a lot of good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens the rest of the season, it's going to be a good story in Ames. But I just didn't like what I saw last night.
Yeah, no player finished in double figures. Tyrese Hunter had 9 to lead the way. And like I said, a 20-12 record for the Cyclones to finish the season, the regular season plus the Big 12 tournament, and now looking ahead to Selection Sunday. 319-366-1600. It has just gone final. Iowa beating Rutgers 84-74. So getting some revenge there. Talk more about that. Love to hear from you on the talk and text line at 319-366-1600. Here as we head into the second half hour of the program here for you on a Friday afternoon. Before we get to your emails, Hideaway Scoreboard, do want to give away our tickets to George Thorogood and the Destroyers. They are coming to Cedar Rapids on Tuesday, May 3rd, bringing the Good to Be Bad tour, 45 Years of Rock, to the Paramount Theater. And we've been giving away pairs of tickets all week long. And if you would like to win a pair of tickets, be calling number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. Talk to Ben, and caller number 6 will get those tickets from us here at KGYM. Let's get that scoreboard update from you.
North Lynn has won another state championship in boys basketball. The Lynx claimed the 1A championship earlier today, just a short time ago, actually, 52-48 over Grandview Christian. Dylan Kurt leading the way, excuse me, with 16 points. They're holding the NCAA Division III wrestling championships for the first time since 2019. Those going on right now at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse in downtown Cedar Rapids. Wartburg off to a very good start, 7 out of 7 in the first round. A big victory, a technical foul from Kyle Briggs out of Cedar Rapids Jefferson for Wartburg. Quarterfinals coming up tonight and the conclusion tomorrow. They're having a devil of a time at the Players' Championship.
Again?
In Florida. Play suspended for most of the day. They did get underway earlier. Zach Johnson got 14 holes in before play stopped. He is 2 under for the tournament. Very good round going for Zach, but he may not complete in this field, may not complete the first round until tomorrow, which makes for a very long weekend. David Ross has been extended by the Chicago Cubs as manager through 2024.
Okay.
And that includes a club option for 2025. So a bit of stability there for the Cubs.
We'll see if they can turn it around here this year. Of course, they were competitive to start, and then the fire sale happened, and it became a who's this guy kind of.
Where's the free agent friends? Are they waiting till Monday or what?
I just saw something here. The first name to fall, not Freddie Freeman, not Carlos Correa, not Nick Castellanos, Carlos Rodon, former White Sox pitcher. Jeff Passan from ESPN reporting. Carlos Rodon and the San Francisco Giants are in agreement on a 2-year, $44 million contract.
Okay.
So, not what you thought it would be, but Carlos Rodon is the first name to fall. No longer a White Sox for Carlos Rodon. Ben is efforting our winner. We will get that name to you here in just a bit, and we'll continue our reaction to Iowa's win over Rutgers in the Big Ten quarterfinals. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Back after this on the Gym Class.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we'll have mostly sunny skies and some cool, breezy conditions today. Temperatures are going to be in the low 20s, but the wind chill is going to be in the low teens. Later on tonight, mostly clear skies and still breezy. Temperatures drop down to the single digits. Wind chills are going to be around negative 10. Then tomorrow, we're going to have mostly sunny skies, still cool with temperatures in the 20s, but we pop it up into the 50s come Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
BetMGM, official gaming partner of MLS, has a special offer for soccer fans. Just sign up with BetMGM using code HANSON200, HANSON200, and if your first wager is a $2 moneyline bet on any MLS game, you'll receive $200 if either team scores a goal. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM and use code HANSON200 to win $200 when you bet on any MLS game and either team scores a goal. Now you're winning with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You like word games, right? Okay, Linn County REC has one for you. This is a two-word phrase. There are four things. It must do one of these things, but can't harm the other three. Still with me? Okay. This two-word phrase has to, one, save consumers money, two, benefit the environment, three, improve community quality of life, and four, make the energy grid more resilient. Do you know this two-word phrase? The phrase you were looking for is beneficial electrification. Ever heard of it? You're going to, because it might be the biggest win-win-win ever. It means using electricity to power more things, which can cost you less money, helps the environment, and your community. A good example is an electric car, and that's only the beginning. Linn County REC is excited about the possibilities of beneficial electrification and how it will help its members, the community, and the environment. Learn more about beneficial electrification at LynnCountyREC.com.
When he's good, he's thorough good. When he's bad, he's even better. George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Good to be bad tour. 45 years of rock. May 3rd, the Paramount Theater. Tickets on sale now at creventslive.com. George Thorogood and the Destroyers live.
Save big money and get 11% off everything at Menards. Attract beautiful birds to your feeder with Enchanted Garden Wild Bird Food. The mix contains a blend of seeds and corn that your feathered friends will love. A 40-pound bag of wild bird food is $11.99 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything at Menards. Good through March 12th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, back here at 3:34 on the Gym Class at KGYM. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon. Spencer and Mark with you, taking you up till 4 o'clock. Todd and Alex are in from 4 until 6. And then we've got coverage of the Big 12 tournament from ESPN Radio. Kansas versus TCU, Texas Tech versus Oklahoma. Coverage starting at 6 on all of our frequencies here for a Friday evening. Congrats going out to Mike from Iowa City, winners of our final pair of tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers at the Paramount Theater in Cedar Rapids. Speaking of Todd and Alex, don't forget they have tickets to see Breaking Benjamin, Seether, Starset, and Lacey Sturm coming to the Alliance Energy Powerhouse on Friday, May 6th. They've got their final pair of tickets coming up between 4 and 6 today. To see that show coming up May 6th. So a couple great shows coming to Cedar Rapids in the early part of May as we sit here on a cold day in March, which it's going to be one of those weekends where I saw the forecast. It's like 25 tomorrow, just in time for the Sapit episode parade, like 20 degrees and sunny tomorrow for the parade.
Those people don't care.
I know they don't. I know. But I'm saying, like, it's not like, you know, perfect parade weather. You want, like,
no, it's been. I remember St. Patrick's Day when it was upper 70s, yeah, 80 degrees. Yeah, it was just insane. But you'll have days like that. Yeah. And
then Sunday, it's going to be like 55 and sunny. So yeah. Just spring in Iowa for you.
I expected to hear more out of Razorback Dale today. He texted during your show.
He did.
Right now, Arkansas leading LSU by about 16 in the NCAA quarters. So,
yep.
I beat you to it, Dale.
Dale, let us know how things are going. There he is. Go Hogs, he says. Razorback Dale. Still predicting Arkansas, Iowa, and the NCAA final. That was his text from, I think, yesterday. So we're holding you to that, Dale. But thanks for texting in. 319-366-1600. Iowa officially beating Rutgers 84-74 in the Big Ten quarterfinals. Final stat line here, just to go over it one more time for those that didn't get all the final tallies, but Keegan Murray finishing with 26 points on 10 of 19 shooting, 6 of 6 from the foul line, 8 rebounds for Keegan, 16 apiece for Jordan Bohannon and Tony Perkins, 9 for Chris Murray in the contest as well. Philip Abracha finishing with 5, Pat McCaffrey with 3, Joe Toussaint 4 points, Peyton Sanford 2, and Connor McCaffrey with 3 points in the contest. Rutgers led by Geo Baker with 23 points in the contest. Today, Iowa ended up shooting 49% to Rutgers 45%, 32% from 3 to 29% for Rutgers. And I guess we call it the announcer curse. Iowa finishing 25 of 27 from the foul line in that contest. So they did miss 2 shots, but still 25 of 27 is that's 93%.
That's acceptable.
It's not perfect, but it's acceptable. Iowa with a good clip there. And then I mentioned turnovers. Iowa had 11 to Rutgers 5. Rebounds in favor of the Hawkeyes 34 to 28. And Rutgers owned points in the paint early. They still won that category, if you will. But 40 to 36. Rutgers evened out a bit toward the end.
So tomorrow at noon, Iowa and Indiana.
Yep.
CBS, Jim Nance, hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Is on the call.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
It should be. Iowa and Indiana coming up tomorrow. Winners of the Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Purdue, Penn State games will play in the other semifinal later in the afternoon, and then Championship Sunday. So, you know, said it before, I'll say it again. This Iowa team, the way they're playing, they can win the thing. They can win the whole Big Ten tournament here.
Can't disagree.
It's gonna be tough tomorrow against Indiana, a team you haven't seen since January 13th. But you know, just both teams playing very well. Iowa is one of the hottest, if not the hottest, team in the Big Ten, and we'll see what happens.
Fran McCaffrey tomorrow has a chance to equal the most wins in his Iowa coaching career. He went 25-13 in 2012-13 when Iowa was an NIT runner-up. Right now, Iowa 24-9.
Mm-hmm.
And we've often talked about it after last season and all the players that Iowa had lost. Who'd have thunk it? Well, think it.
Yeah, think it. It's happening. 24-9. It's happening right in front of your very eyes. And Iowa in a great position here in the Big Ten semifinals for the second straight season. Let's take a look at what else is happening in the world of college hoops today. Razorback Dale, I don't need to tell you, but for everybody else, Arkansas is beating LSU by 12 in the SEC quarterfinals here today. Had an upset in, we talked about Illinois going down, but you had an upset in the first part of that bracket with Auburn, number one seed Auburn, falling to Texas A&M.
Yeah, A&M at 21-22 wins, 23 wins, something like that, but jumped off to a big first half lead, 16-point lead on Auburn, and held them off.
So Texas A&M will, if the score holds here, face Arkansas in one semifinal. Later tonight, you've got Tennessee and Mississippi State and Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, the 11 seed. I mean, Georgia is just putrid this year. They won their opening round game big, and Georgia just fired Tom Crean, who still riding the coattails of that one time he got Dwayne Wade to come to Marquette. But Tom Crean getting let go at Georgia. Vandy then upsetting Alabama last night. And I think Alabama was still a tournament team, but not a very good look when you lose to the 11 seed in the conference tournament. So Kentucky and Vandy, the other SEC championship or SEC quarterfinal game coming up tonight.
How about that Big 12? I mean, Baylor goes down. Texas goes down. I mean, pretty good path for Kansas now, right?
Yeah, Kansas had a little trouble with West Virginia yesterday. TCU upsetting Texas. Baylor losing to Oklahoma, of all teams, an Oklahoma team that, you know, struggled mightily down the stretch. I think in their last game with Iowa State, the Cyclones shot 75% against them for that contest, which, you know, I mean, Iowa State has had some nights where they really, really struggled to shoot and score the ball. But when you're letting Iowa State, you know, all due respect to the Cyclones, obviously, but when they're shooting 75% against you, something's wrong. Oklahoma upsetting Baylor and then Texas Tech. So, yeah, I think we're going to see Kansas and Texas Tech in the championship game. I mean, if that's if the higher seeds hold, but TCU just beat Kansas last week, I think it was, or a week before, in Fort Worth. So, you know, don't count out the Horned Frogs either, but I think Kansas has a pretty clear path there in the Big 12. In the ACC, you've got Duke and Miami later on tonight, and then North Carolina and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech trying to make a run here. I know they're on the outside looking in as of today, but Vatek winning over Clemson in overtime, beating Notre Dame pretty handily, the number two seed in the ACC, and then UNC and Vatek tonight. I think we're heading towards Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's what we're getting towards.
Probably a good time to remind folks of our NCAA bracket challenge that's coming up, and always very popular. You can only enter once, one sheet of integrity, and let them know about it.
Yeah, the bracket challenge, as you mentioned, Mark, is of course going to open up here on Sunday, Selection Sunday. Brackets will be revealed, and then you can fill out those brackets on the Bracket Challenge group link at kgymradio.com. And you'll see it right there on the homepage. Look for our group, which is KGYM 2022. The password, as I've mentioned before, is all caps, MADNESS, M-A-D-N-E-S-S. So look for that link, enter the password, one bracket per person. And you have from Sunday through 11 a.m. on Thursday to set up your brackets, pick who you think is going to win, And the person with the best bracket gets $500 from Imon Communications.
Where will Iowa be seated in that bracket? That's our poll question today. Excuse me, at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team there. Where will Iowa be seated in the NCAA men's tournament? You think fifth or lower, sixth or seventh, or eighth or higher? Go ahead and vote.
Yeah, that's at KGYMradio.com. Honestly, right now, I think fifth or higher. And that even comes with a possible, say they lose to Indiana tomorrow in the semifinals. I think they're pretty solidly a five now.
I'd say five or six.
Yeah. Low five, maybe right on the six.
Should Iowa reach the championship game, I think it's definitely inside the top five. But we shall see about that. And we talked earlier in the week how difficult and how poor we both are at filling out brackets. And I'll fill one out just for show purposes.
Right.
I'm not going to enter any pools because now more than ever before, it's so difficult. I mean, the last couple, 3 years has become more and more difficult. Is there a clear-cut favorite? Gonzaga, would you say?
A lot of people will probably pick Gonzaga. A lot of people might pick Duke just based on it being Coach K's, last year coaching.
And Arkansas.
Razorback Dale, we know who he's picking. Yeah, Arkansas, maybe. Kentucky, I think, might be a popular pick. All of the top teams have shown weaknesses. There's not one clear, yep, that's the team.
Mm-hmm.
So
I recall, the Big Ten struggled last year.
They did not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Iowa knocked out in the second round. Illinois losing to Loyola, Purdue losing, you just never know. And there's so many good teams, that can come up and beat you on any given night. As of today, the four number one seeds, Gonzaga, who of course won their conference tournament, probably going to be the number one overall seed, still number one in the country. Arizona, who's still alive in
the
Pac-12. Yeah, they're a really good basketball team. Baylor was still a number one. This is Joe Lenardi's projection as of this morning, but they lost to a mediocre Oklahoma team. And then the other number one, who's still alive and probably has a pretty good chance at winning the Big 12 tournament now with Baylor getting out, is Kansas. Joe Lenardi had Kansas as the number one in his projection as of early this morning. The number two seeds in the bracket, just to go down the line here, Joe Lenardi's number two seeds, Wisconsin, Duke, Kentucky, and Auburn. So you'd think one of those two teams, or one of those four teams, probably not Wisconsin. I don't think I'd put them up a line. Maybe Kentucky if they win the SEC tournament. You'd think maybe they'd bump up to a one with Baylor losing early to a mediocre Oklahoma team.
One of those twos just doesn't seem to belong.
Right.
That's Wisconsin.
Right, that's true. And we'll see what Wisconsin does. They could go out and win the tournament. They could go out and...
That would change my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Auburn just lost, too. So does Auburn stay at a two? They had a chance to maybe jump up and take that one from Baylor. There's a lot of jostling for position that's still going to happen here over the next couple days. But Iowa, again, that poll question that you mentioned, Mark, where do you think they're going to be seated? Fifth or lower, sixth or seventh, or eighth or higher? You can vote now at KGYMradio.com. Again, Iowa winning today, 84-74. Plenty more reaction coming up with Todd and Alex here on KGYM. Coming up, we'll take a look at what else is happening in the world of sports, some NFL news, and I'll talk a little bit more about the baseball news. How do we feel about baseball returning finally after the 99-day lockout? We'll let you know more about that coming up here in just a bit on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne reporting from a Caesars Sportsbook commercial. Caesars knows the way to your heart is food, so sign up with code RADIOEAT Bet $50, and new users get a $250 Uber Eats gift card.
Must be 21 and physically present in Iowa. New customers with eligible promo code only. Real money wagers only that have minimum odds of minus 200. $250 gift card redemption code and steps to redeem gift card will be sent via email within 72 hours. Uber gift card terms and conditions apply. See caesar.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
All right, back here on the Gym Class at 3:49. Spencer and Mark with you here for a Friday afternoon, taking you up till top of the hour with Todd and Alex here on KGYM. Through a 9-3-6-6-1600, Steve Peichel meeting with the media after Rutgers fell to Iowa 84-74 in the Big Ten quarterfinals. Much different game than the first meeting in New Jersey, but Iowa able to hold off a run by Rutgers and get the job done and win by 10 points. Again, they'll face Indiana coming up tomorrow in noon tip-off on CBS, and we'll have all the reaction for you coming up on Monday, because Monday will be the day after with Selection Sunday.
Yeah, Steve Peichel meeting the media right now. Maybe this was out earlier, I don't know, but he has signed a contract extension through 2029, 2030. Not known as whether his strength and conditioning coach will be along for the ride.
That's true, yeah. As
kicked out of the game today.
Kicked out of the game, at least one technical, maybe two. I know there was one for sure on him, but he was kicked out of the game today after technical fouls. A technical foul was assessed as part of the game, and Steve Peichel, like you mentioned, getting that contract extension. I mean, honestly, if you're Rutgers, I mean, he's been your best coach in forever.
Solid.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the record, 18 and 13, I think, is their record heading into Sunday. I think they should be in the tournament. You know, I don't know.
Like, the numbers don't look good, but
right. The losses are bad.
Will the committee factor in Ron Harper Jr. being out earlier in the year for a period of time?
Right.
Among others, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, what I see between Harper and the rest of that outfit is a very capable team that can maybe win a couple games in the tournament, but it may not get in.
Yeah, they were, again, going back to Joe Lunardi's projection, they were one of the teams with a bye, one of the last four teams with a bye. So they were solidly in. Michigan was one spot below them, according to Joe Lunardi, as of earlier this morning. So we'll have to see how things shake out. Both teams' seasons are done. Indiana has a chance to solidify their spot in the tournament even more and maybe bump them a little bit further back. We'll see how things play out here in the rest of the weekend. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well at 319-366-1600 after Iowa wins 84-74 over Rutgers. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on the show, Mark, but baseball's back. I think we're both in agreement. That's a good thing. I don't see how anybody could see it as a bad thing unless you just hate, you know, Major League Baseball. The lockout soured you enough where you're claiming to be done with baseball. But as we talked about yesterday, you're not going to be done. You'll go to a game. But the new CBA has been put out and ratified. And we mentioned Carlos Rodon getting a contract from the Giants, reportedly, according to ESPN. But interesting provisions with the new collective bargaining agreement. Of course, spring training games start March 17th. The mandatory report date is Sunday. Opening day is April 7th, and they're going to play a full 162-game schedule. And a couple interesting things. We were talking about this off the air. The runner on second base is no longer a thing. Doubleheaders are 9 innings, again, from what I understand, and playoffs expand to 12 teams starting this year, too.
Love the elimination of the runner on second. It's 14-inch slow pitch rules, in my mind. And I like the return of 9-inning doubleheaders. Again, that was all due to COVID and trying to preserve our rosters and on and on. That's the first time I mentioned COVID in 2 weeks. That feels really good.
I was going to say, yeah.
But expanding the playoffs, I'm fine with that. I mean, Major League Baseball has made a lot of changes in the playoffs over the years. Before 1969, two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams.
Two, yeah.
And then it went to four and then to eight and 10 and now 12. So, I mean, why not? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read anything about the wild card round. Is that still one game?
I think with the expansion, it's not going to be one game anymore. It's going to be I've heard
a three-game series. I'm sorry. Yep, I just read three-game series.
So, I you know, the one game, the one-and-done game is just so tough when you have, when you have two great teams. You know, you have these divisions that are stacked. Like when the NL Central is stacked, you have the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Brewers all duking it out. You know, you hate to see like a, you know, a bloop to short and misplayed by the shortstop cost a great team a chance at advancing in the playoffs. But that's how things have shaken out.
You know, the runner on second, the High Central League, of which Cedar Rapids is involved, has had it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked to Jeff Johnson. He likes it. But it just seems to me if your team is really successful in those games, you like it.
Right.
If you have a losing record in those games, you don't like it. But I like the universal DH. What do you think?
You know, I don't hate it. You know, it adds another bat to the lineup. You're not counting on a pitcher to do something a pitcher usually doesn't do. You know, I mean, being a Brewer fan, I've seen our pitchers hit home runs.
Yeah.
You know, like I think back to Brandon Woodruff hitting a home run off Clayton Kershaw in the NLCS a couple years ago. You know, so I'm used to, you know, at least for the team I follow, seeing it happen. But, you know, if it adds another bat to the lineup, saves the wear from the pitchers, then let's do it.
Yeah, I've always believed that the leagues that operate under the same rules either get rid of it totally or have universal DH. I don't care one way or another. I like the uniformity. I know it's breaking with tradition, but a lot of things lately have broken with tradition in baseball.
Yeah.
And so be it. We'll see how it works out. I want to see what these teams look like come April 7th. I got to believe the players are hitting off a tee, maybe some live pitching.
Mm-hmm.
The pitchers, I'm sure, getting their workouts in, but it's not the same as being game ready. Getting in those exhibition games and being in the line of fire, so to speak, and we'll see how it works out. But April 7th, we will find out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the full 162 is being played because you saw what happened with that. The 2020 was one thing because you had the shortened season. There's not much you can do, but you're playing a 60-game season.
Right.
You know, it's just impossible for anybody to get going. And I think part of the carryover from that 60-game season, you've seen, again, going, you know, I follow the Brewers, you see a guy like Christian Yelich, who had an awful 2020. He was a little bit better last year, but the struggles from one year have carried over to another, and we'll see if he's able to bounce back. You look at some of the other players that, you know, that maybe haven't produced as much since then. I'm glad it's going to be a full 162, especially after, you know, the first series was canceled, another series was canceled. They're going to build it back in and, you know, just get it done. 319-366-1600. Appreciate your texts in here. Didn't have time for the last couple. 8699 with an interesting question. What was the last time the fourth place team in the Big Ten did not make the NCAA tournament? I don't have the answer for that. We're short on time here, but has to be quite a while ago. I have to do some research on that. But that, I think Rutgers should be in, and they're the fourth place team in the Big Ten tournament. The Big Ten period. They should be in.
Great question.
The tournament. We'll report back. Leave that one for Todd and Alex who are coming up. We're told Scott is back on Monday.
That's the rumor.
Scheduled to appear on Monday. So
it's been a pleasure working with you the last 2 weeks full time, and I'm sure we'll do it again at some point.
We will. Todd and Alex up next. Spencer on Sports back on Monday. Gym Class with Scott back here on Monday as well. Have a great weekend.